excellent job. Amen. Appreciate those songs. How many are determined to walk with the Lord?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Y'all, it's a little warmer outside. Y'all still going to be saved? You know how saints do, boy. Get on a little vacation. Amen. And next, you know, warms up outside. And saints see a lot of activities going on, a lot of opportunities to do other things other than to be saved. But I believe there's a few folks that are going to stay saved come what may. Summer, winter, springtime, harvest, it doesn't matter. We're going to be saved. Amen. Every chance that we get, every opportunity we get, amen, we're going to stay saved. Amen. All right, so that's good. Amen. I'm glad you were determined to walk with the Lord. Let's go tonight into the word of the Lord to 2 Timothy. We'll start there. How many are thankful for the word of the Lord? All right, the word of the Lord that ought to govern you. Y'all hear that? The word of the Lord that you can pattern your life after. All right, the word of the Lord that will lead and guide you and give you instructions for your life. So thank God for the word of the Lord. 2 Timothy, we'll go on down here to chapter number 3. Give the Lord praise for the service that we had on Sunday, both Sunday morning and Sunday night. Thank God for the elder that was used, Elder Hollis. Amen. Good word. Praise God for Elder Mike Jones on Sunday night as well. Good word. Amen. From both of them. Amen. And for everybody that came on out, even the sisters, you all look nice in your hats as well. Amen. Y'all look real nice. All right. All right. 2 Timothy. Y'all there with me? Chapter number 3. All right. And we are down here. Let's go to let's go to verse number 10. We'll start there. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Anybody want to have that testimony? Been through some things, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I heard Sister Kayla, through hard times, tribulations, persecutions, I'll be faithful, determined to walk with the Lord. Well, that was Paul's story. Verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly, so it's not just for him. Y'all hear this? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecutions. All right, y'all still want to, are y'all still determined to walk with Jesus? Somebody ought to say, yes, I am. All right. Amen. All right, verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Come on, verse number 14, you read. All right, and that from a child, you've been learning this since you were a little boy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. So thank God for all the pew babies that are here. Ever since you were a child, the word of God was being instilled in you. Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All right, verse 16. This is what I want, 16 and 17. Let's read together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Y'all hear that? All the scriptures, all this word. Don't just take part of it and then leave the rest of it behind. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we give God praise for the word of God. Certainly we need the word of the Lord. You know, we don't want to be just walking through life without anything to govern us. I know that might sound appealing to somebody in this, maybe, well, to somebody out there. I ain't going to even say somebody in this room, but maybe somebody out there. Oh, just anarchy just sounds real, real good. Freedom. Let's just get free and just do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it. You know, and that might sound real appealing. You know, and it might actually be good, or, you know, for a little while, because guess what the scripture says? The pleasures of sin, it lasts for what? For just a season. All right? And so initially, you know, Moses went on up in the mountain and the children, they rose up to play and they having all kind of parties and orgies and every other thing they wanted, you know, doing whatever they were big and bad enough to do. But eventually, You have to pay for your actions. And you have to think to yourself, where is this thing going to take me? Where is it leading me? And when I start to think about the bigger picture, oh, suddenly I want to slow down. And I recognize I'm thankful for the word of the Lord. You know, I'm thankful for something that's governing us. All right. Thankful for there being some rules. Just think about what society would be like if there were no rules or no laws for us to govern ourselves by. All right. Sister Brianna, did you get the slides that I had? Even when you were a little kid growing up in your classroom, hoping you had some rules, hoping you just wouldn't run around school acting a plum fool, slapping each other, hitting everybody, bopping each other upside the head and all those things. How many people have some rules in school? Don't do this, don't do that, you know, stay in your seat or raise your hand and all those things. Put up some of those, my first slide there, if you don't mind, Sister Brianna. No, that's okay. Well, they know the rules anyhow. You know, when I was teaching school, we had the rules to be clearly posted, try to have them few. And then as you see waves of things that go through the education world, pretty soon they start telling us to make sure all the rules are positively worded. You know, don't just sit there and say, don't blurt out. Maybe you can put it, listen attentively, listen actively, you know. Don't hit somebody. No, instead of saying that, you know, keep your hands and your feet to yourself. And that's a good thing. But let's not get so loosey-goosey where all of a sudden we're just allowing everybody just to run around the classroom and do whatever they want to do because we understand what will happen, all right? We understand that pretty soon the kids will take over. The kids won't learn anything. And because they don't learn anything, ultimately society will go the wrong direction, and then you'll have people working in Arby's, McDonald's, and everywhere else that can't count your change at all. Somebody said, I already got that. All right, but, you know, and think about, all right, rules. There's even rules to govern yourself by when you drive, right? Y'all know about all the signs that are out there. You got the yield signs. When you see yield, what's that mean? That yield. You know, you yield to traffic. You know, if you're the one, you know, that's merging into the highway, you know, I know some of you all think, go to the next one. I know some of you all think that the yield sign, that means for the traffic that's already on the highway to yield to you coming on. No, that's not what that means. You yield to them. They already on the highway. And if he want to drive in the right-hand lane, that means that you need to slow down and merge into traffic. Not him having to pull over for you. If he want to pull over, yeah. But if he won't pull over. Sister Micah, she always get on me for driving in that lane all the time. All right, what are some of these other signs? Up here, oh, there's one with a little blue one with somebody look like in a wheelchair. What's that mean? Don't park there if you ain't got one of those plates. Y'all know a good one. I'm rebuking somebody right now. Y'all know how y'all do. I'm going to be real quick. I just got to run in this store right quick. Knowing good well you ain't got that tag on your car. Come on, saints of God. You know, there's rules, all right? Thank God for all those rules. Look, you know, stop sign. How many of y'all, you know how we do? We make a roll and stop. And they'll get you for that. You know, all the young people in here under the age of 16, you know, if you want a quick way to flunk your driver's exam is to make that rolling stop. And they'll just sit in that seat and just be smiling at you, let you go through the whole thing, then you pull them on back in, and that's when they tell you, I'm sorry, we'll see you in about another couple months. Because you got to know how to come to a complete stop, all right? And the reason why we have all of these signs is so it won't be just complete chaos on the roads. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can go to less developed countries, and I guarantee you these rules of the road, they might get on your nerves. But when you go to a less developed country, you will become a little bit more thankful for the rules. You know why? Because you see people just driving all over the place. My Lord, people driving on the sidewalk, got little bitty motorbikes on the sidewalk where the pedestrians are, and it's just traffic jams and just craziness. I've been to some places where, I mean, my goodness, didn't even want to drive. I was even thinking today about building permits. When we were doing this remodeling here, there was we didn't pass our inspection in a couple areas because we had to make certain things handicap accessible. And we moved one toilet over, it was just about 4 inches, and because of that, it didn't get grandfathered in, and we had to make it handicap accessible, and it was a whole fuss over that. And, you know, it was a side to me that wanted to fuss right back. But when I go to other countries, and you see that people just build any old kind of way, and I never forget when I went to Egypt, I started seeing all kind of buildings look like they were just leaning over, all kind of which ways, anybody that wanted to build, however you wanted to build, you can build it. And pretty soon, the city starts looking like a mess. And so you start thinking to yourself, well, thank God for the rules that are trying to make us, you know, so everybody ain't just taking not doing the right thing. People are abiding by these rules and these standards for life so that we can all enjoy a better quality of life, and everybody just can't take a shortcut. Brother Patrick, yes, sir.
They don't have building codes like
that. Yes, yes, that's exactly what I meant. And consequently, you can be walking down the sidewalk, and because somebody just haphazardly built their building, that thing fall over on you. Next thing you know, you lost your life or lost a leg or arm. So we learn to appreciate the rules, or we learn to appreciate the laws, and in this case, we learn to appreciate the law of the Lord. Hello, somebody. You know, now maybe when you was younger, you couldn't appreciate it, but when you start to see what could happen without the law of the Lord, you start to appreciate it. Yes, thank God for the law of the Lord, or the all scripture being given for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right? Now, all of your Bible that you have, everybody that's brought your Bible today, hold it up. All right, we got our Bible. See somebody holding up your, I ain't knocking the cell phones. I see you out there with your Bible apps and things. All right. I'm not going to get into that. I know that somebody will preach you down and mad at it right now. That's all right, though. You know, at least you got something you're trying to read. You know, and really the biggest problem to me, I think, in society now is though people have so much access to the Word of God. You know, Bible on your mobile devices. Bible is just, you know, in commentaries and all kinds of things just at your disposal. And it's just ease of access. But you know what? Even though it's so the ease of access is there, people still don't access it. Y'all hear that? They so busy on Twitter, Instagram, scrolling through everything else but Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, whatever Bible app that you have. So I give God praise. Thank God for the Bibles. It was one little young guy that was down praying the other day, and first Sunday prayer. I didn't think first Sunday prayer was a big hit, you know, and there's sometimes that, you know, it just, you know, we the church feel like praying, and there's some Sundays I was like, Lord, help us. Lord, save us, Lord. But anyway, on that Sunday, I was determined not to start overturning the money changers' tables and things like that. And I came down. I had some things I needed to deal with. And so I came down, and I looked, and one little brother was down there, and he had his phone out. And I started to rebuke him real quick. But guess what? I looked on there, had his little Bible out reading it. All right, so I said, all right, let me leave you alone. All right, but if y'all catch one from me, just know I'm from a different day. I'm from a paper day, paper Bible. And if you don't want pastor to give you a rebuke, you might want to bring your paper Bible on prayer night. And I'm going to tell you what, really, prayer night ain't Bible reading night. Oh, but that's a whole nother thing. But I understand, there's different, you know, when we have those nights of prayer, there's different levels, you know, that people are on. Some of the young people might feel like that's more of a press, but at least they're trying. Down there doing something spiritual, so let's not beat them up too bad. All right, but anyway, when you have your Bible, do you realize you got a whole library? Sister Brianna, help me out with that next one. You got a whole different library. And within this canon of scriptures, 66 books, you can categorize these books in different ways. This is not just, you know, one book, you know, it's the word Bible, you know, or book, books of the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, but it's a collection of scriptures. And I like this poster that they sell. You see it in many Sunday school classrooms, but you can see how it's divided up into different genres. You got the law, and you got books of history, you got books of poetry, the major prophets, you have the minor prophets, you have the four gospels, then you have the church history, the book of Acts, you have the Pauline epistles, and then you have the general epistles, and then you have the book of Revelation. And so those books are divided up. We got the Old Testament and the New Testament, but all of this word has been put together, you know, and I believe that it's been inspired by the Holy Ghost so that we would have something to govern our lives by. Y'all hear that? So thank God for the word of the Lord, all right? Now, so how many books in the Old Testament? Don't look down, how many? Sister Donna, we can count on her. She said 39 real quick, 39 books. How many in the New? 27 different books, all right? And so different categories of scripture and understanding those things, what you're reading, I think would be important or would help you to have a better understanding, all right? Say you're reading a book of wisdom or a book of poetry, or you reading a letter to the epistles or a Pauline epistle, or reading the book of Acts, you know, the beginning of the church history, understanding what you're reading. Now, tonight, what I want us to do, we are actually going to be reading a book of poetry. Somebody tell me what you think I'm going to actually come from. Psalms, all right, very, very good, all right. We're going to go from Psalms, and actually we're going to read tonight from one of the longest, and I already know right now that we're not, I'm going to need some help tonight, by the way. I hope you came to help. Hope y'all came to work tonight. Some of y'all just getting off work and things like that. Hope you've not done working, because tonight I need your help. And so we're going to come from a book of poetry, all right? How many people are in like poetry? All right? Anybody here write poetry at all? It's Sister Tay, we already know, well known in the church for her poetry. Anybody else? Sister Marcita, I know that about you. Let me just see anybody, any other poets. Jalen, you a poet and I didn't even know it. Got bars. Sister Angie, you dibble and dabble in poetry. I didn't even know that. Would anybody in here know there's different genres of poetry? There's acrostic poetry. Am I saying that right? I hope I am. Acrostic poetry. All right, something like that. I'll show you what it is. I can show you better than I can tell you. All right, put that next slide up for me. I'll show you one of these things right here. All right, can you all read that? All right. I'll read this poem to you all. This is not a scriptural a poem right now, but we'll start here so you can have a better understanding. All right. Opening the dusty letter-bound album, lots of memories came flooding back. Dad had a lot more hair back then. Proud parents when our son was born. How he's grown into a delightful young man. Outings to the park with his little friends. Turning the pages, I start to get quite teary. Old faces of loved ones no longer with us. Good friends and relations who have passed. Rich reminders of happy times in days gone by. Amazing events captured, frozen in time. Pages turned bring tears and laughter. How precious are all these moments. Snap some pictures today for you to share. And that's by Jan Allison. If you notice, one thing about that poem, it don't really rhyme, does it? All right, and that's one thing about it. I hope I'm saying that right. Acrostic poetry is that it does not have to rhyme. Now, if you look down, it make a little bit more sense. You see the first letter of every stanza or every line of the poem? Now look straight down. What does it say? What's the name of that poem? Can anybody find it? Old Photographs. All right. So an acrostic. Am I saying that correctly? Acrostic poetry. That's what it does. Let's go to the next one. I'll show you one more. The next one's a little bit more simple. We're in the month of April. All right. Azaleas stir. Recall of neighbors long gone. Pleasant weathers that rule. Revival is everywhere. I will plop down in clover and billowing mounds. That sounds beautiful. Link blooms into chains and no joy without bounds, all right? And then you look down and you see the word April, all right? And so that's when doesn't necessarily have to rhyme, but just beautiful words that are put to certain letters, all right? Show them one more, springtime. You look down and you can see the words, how they flow. All right, now, one of the largest books of the Bible is what? Somebody tell me, or chapters in the Bible. Very good job, all right? Chapter number 119 in the book of Psalms, all right? We'll go there on tonight. And did you know that Psalm 119 is actually an acrostic poem, all right? Now, but it is actually, let's not put it up there yet. No, well, notice, I appreciate that, Sister Brianna. Now, notice the very first verse of chapter number 119. What does it start with? Now, this is the part you always skip over. It didn't say Alpha. Now, we know that the Old Testament is written in what? Hebrew. All right, y'all know your stuff. Go ahead and say it. Be confident with it. What's the Old Testament written in Hebrew, right? And then New Testament? All right, Greek. We know at least that. You know, now, I'm not a scholar by any means, but I don't feel like you have to be a scholar to know a little bit of something. All right? All right, now, what Psalm 119 does, well, actually, first of all, let's go through this Hebrew alphabet. Show me my next slide up there, Sister Brianna. Hebrew alphabet, I wouldn't even begin to try to pronounce this because I'll show you, I was struggling with acrostic, let alone some Hebrew. You know, some of us, we struggle in English. But, Sister Brianna, could you play that for me if you don't mind? Let's hear the, different sounds. What'd you say? Yeah, just the sounds fine. We already got it up there. First, now, hold on. We'll say this about Hebrew. It doesn't read from left to right like we traditionally do in English. It goes from the opposite way. So notice you can see the very first one up there, Aleph. That's going to be on your right, and then we're going that way. Y'all got it? Hebrew 101. Don't fall asleep already. All right. Come on, go ahead and play. I saw some heavy eyes already. Go ahead. Thank you, Sister Brianna. Good job. Let's give Sister Brianna a hand. She's on it back there. I appreciate her. All right. All right, now, so Psalm 119, many scholars believe it's a Psalm of David. Nobody knows for sure, but most people would agree they would attribute this to David. And we know about David's life. And the reason why most of us in here can identify with David is because his life is filled, just like ours, with ups and downs. Some of y'all was in here shouting on Sunday, then we got to Monday, whole different story. You know what I'm saying? It's just that quick, ups and downs, and there's times that we go through seasons where we feel like, oh, you know, the Lord just has captured our heart, and, you know, we're so excited about salvation. And there's times, if we'd all admit, we go through times of difficulty. Has anybody other than me just kind of struggled in your faith from time to time? Well, David, certainly, you can see some ups and downs in his life. Now, Psalm 119 wasn't just like, you know, somebody sitting down over an hour and just writing a poem or even a couple of days. People believe this is a collection over a lifetime, all right, and put together. And so go to my next slide for me, Sister Brianna. When you read this, I don't want you to look at it like links in a chain where everything is just all linked together, all right? I want you to look at more of like pearls on a string. Each one of them has its own identity. It is not necessarily related, but they all will form something beautiful, all right, rather than just being linked together, if that makes a little bit of sense to you all right? So Psalm 119, if you have your Bible, King James Version of the Bible, I want you just to open that up right now, especially those that have a paper Bible, and I want you to go through, and our English language has 26 letters, right? Hebrew would have 22. Now, what I want you to see, the reason why Psalm 119 is probably one of the longest chapters in your Bible is because it's an acrostic poem, and it uses all 22 of the Hebrew letters. All right? Now, if you got a Bible like mine, you can actually see all of those. All right? You should see Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hech. Now, here's what you do. Now, you got to go about every eight verses is a new Hebrew letter. All right? Every eight verses. So notice it should, if you have a Bible like mine, it'll kind of chop it up in verses of eight for you. All right? Now, we can't appreciate this in the English language because, you know, of course, your Bible's been transliterated and now it's in English. And so you can't really see how every one of those eight verses would have actually begun with whatever that Hebrew word is. But nonetheless, it is in the original language. But at least we can kind of put this together in verses of eight. All right? Now, how many people got a Bible and you can see all those Hebrew letters above? Yeah. All right. Good. All right. Now, here's what I want you all to do on tonight. All right. One thing that I will say on this chain of pearls, if you're going to wear some pearls, wear these pearls. Tell you that right now. These are some girl pearls. What does Proverbs say about it? I want to get wisdom, something to that effect, and I want to bind it about my neck or something like that. Well, this is going to give you something to put around your neck, all right, this chain of pearls on tonight. And what I like to do is I'm going to kind of divide this up, and I'm going to give you all an opportunity on tonight. I want you to find, I got 22 of these, and of course I'm not going to be able to get through everybody on tonight, but I need about 22 people you're going to have to work on tonight, and I want you to maybe form groups of maybe two or three. It looked like about 40 of y'all here tonight. No, we got a little bit more than that, and I want you all to just kind of work together. And then I want you to discuss, read the scripture through your set of eight verses. It's just eight verses. It's not going to kill you. And then I want you to try to find what the meaning of is what come out to you, what stood out to you in the verses. We'll say it like that. What stood out to you in the verses? All right, now, I need 22 people. Don't all stand at once. Ready? Sister Michelle, appreciate you. We'll start you with Aleph. All right? And if you don't mind, you're going to have to move on tonight. I know y'all comfortable, but come on up, all the people that take one of these. If you don't mind coming up on the, well, actually just remain standing right now. Sister LaFreya, sister, there you go. It can be Beth, Regina, Gambil. I hope I don't have no Hebrew. Isaiah, Daleth. All right. That's all you, Isaiah. You took it. All right. Vaugh. All right, now, Zane, I need somebody else in here. Appreciate you. You got to stand up. You ain't standing. I'm skipping you. All right. If you look tired, I'm going to get somebody else. All right, Sister Sean, appreciate you. Brother Patrick, you standing up? You trying to get one? You better stand up. Sister Alexis, appreciate you. Sister Jory, appreciate you. All right. Brother Donaldson, thank you very much. I got a few more left. All right. All right. Future Elder Hollis. All right. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. I got a few more, sister. All right. I got maybe, I'll need 22. 22. All right. Now, here's what I want us to do right now. I got a few more people. Sister Ware, come on up. I'm tired of walking now. Y'all wearing me out. I went around Northwest Way Park today and walked. Try to get up. All right. The rest of them are up here. Do I got a couple more volunteers that'll come up here and help me out? Hurry up now. Come on. We got so much. Pick whichever one you want to get. All right. Okay, we're going to, I know we're not going to make it through this whole entire thing, so we had to kind of divide and conquer on tonight, all right? Sister Micah, appreciate you. Okay, now, I only have four left. That's all right. Now, I want everybody right now, all the leaders, if you have one, I want you to go ahead and stand up right now. Stand up, and everybody else, I want you all the leaders, you come up front right here. How about you come up front so people can see you? Come on up. Come on up so people can see who you are. All right. Okay, now it's a nice day outside. I don't know if you want to go outside. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you about, we'll meet back in here at 8 o'clock to discuss. All right, so the rest of you all, you need to find a group. You can't just sit there. You got to get up and find a group. Join yourself to somebody, maybe groups of three or so. That'd be good. All right. See y'all in about 15 minutes. Talk about it. Read the verses, discuss it, and try to, what stands out to you, and then you're going to come back in and you're going to present tonight and kind of help me out on tonight to teach this Bible class. I'll tell you what, all these about the Word of God, Psalms 119. All right. After you find your people, find a place to go. You can stay in here. You can go anywhere in the building. Just be in here at 8 o'clock. Everybody has eight verses. Figure out where you want to go. Oh, Paul Regina. All right, everybody, please get with somebody. All right, two or three people. I got two more up here if somebody wants to take it. Then go somewhere, y'all. Don't just stand there. Go anywhere you want to go. Wherever you want to go in the building, you can go. See you in 15 minutes. Like I had to divide and conquer this. If you can hear me, come on back in, everybody. Time's up. We need to go ahead on and come on back in. And I appreciate nobody playing hooky. Went on back here. I saw two young people sitting around just chilling. I had to give them a little kick in the seat of their pants. Get on over there and read the word. All right. I thought that went too hard. Eight verses. You know, my mother-in-law used to have a saying, many hands makes work light. All right. So if we have enough people in here, I'm sure we can take Psalm 119, this beautiful poem. And one thing that I noticed about everything, it dealt with the word of the Lord, the importance of the word of the Lord, all right? And how in every, whether you're on a high or a low in life, the word of the Lord can help you, sustain you, govern you. It can encourage you when you're discouraged, you know, when you're in temptation. It can help you not to make the wrong decision. You know, it'll keep you grounded from getting lifted up when you're having a season, a mountaintop type of season. So the word of the Lord is important, all right? So this whole chain of pearls, we can say, or string of pearls, rather, has been put together. And even though everyone is isolated, they'll come together to make something beautiful, all right, over a whole lifetime. All right, who had the first eight verses? Aleph, I want to say that's how you pronounce it. Sister Michelle, what stood out to you? If you don't mind, I just want to maybe read a little bit over of it, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. Sister Michelle, I need another microphone. I guess, okay, great, awesome.
So one of the predominant words was the keeping, not just the reading of God's word, but the keeping of God's word. In the latter part, you get this sense of failure, but by verse 8, the writer is saying, don't forsake me utterly, because I will keep thy statutes. Uh-huh. So whatever failure has occurred, the focus seems to be on keeping the law as opposed to just reading the law.
Excellent. All right. Keeping the law means doing the word of the Lord. It's one thing to be a hearer of the word, whole other thing to be a what? Doer of the word of the Lord. All right. So this is talking about how we should keep the word of the Lord. And notice in that first eight verses, somewhere in there, it talks about keeping it with your what? Not just a divided heart, but with my whole heart. Anybody want to serve God like that? With my whole heart. I remember it saying something like that in maybe these first. Yeah. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. God don't want to just share your heart with somebody else or something else. All right. Very good. Was that it from that that group? Anybody else wanted to bring out anything on that? All right. Good. Great. I'm glad. I appreciate you guys keeping it brief. All right. Our very next one, Beth. This next eight stanzas, verses 9 through 16, Sister Regina, all right? Everybody got their Bibles? Now, don't just think about yours right now. Let's kind of pay attention to everybody's right now. Wherewithal shall a young man, all the young folks, let me hear y'all. Where are the young people at? Any young men in here? All right. Now, here it is, young men, all right. Let me hear all the young men read this scripture. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Y'all hear that? The word of the Lord will help you to stay clean by taking heed thereto according to the word of the Lord. Sister Regina, what stood out to you all's group?
Okay, so we kind of looked up the word bet or vet, and interestingly enough, it means house or dwelling. And so basically it's talking about in the verse, how do you keep the house, your house, pure? And so by following God's laws and his commands. And then one thing we notice is that the tone of the scripture, he's joyous. The word of the Lord and the commandments of God are not grievous. Mm. So, that's what we know.
So this is a man that understands the importance of the word of God, you know, and I love how even the young people, I'm hoping that already you are understanding the importance of God's laws, you know, and as his sister Regina said, I hope it doesn't just seem grievous to you to follow him. I hope you understand what is keeping you from. Is anybody in here glad that the Lord can keep you? All right. All right. Let me share some things to you that I have down. God's word shows us the standard of purity. So we know what is right and what is wrong. Y'all hear that? There is a right and there is a wrong. Now, I know that we live in a society today that they just want to drop everything and then just live any old kind of way how you want to live. But there is a right and there is a wrong. Word shows us the reasons for purity so we understand the wisdom and goodness of God's commands. God's word shows us the difficulty of purity and reminds us to be on guard. It ain't always easy being pure. Y'all hear that? All right. God's word shows us the blessing of purity as well. God's word shows us how to be what? Born again. God's word shows us the way to be empowered by the Holy Ghost, because we know we can't do this by ourselves. God's word is a refuge against temptation. God's word is a light that clears the way from any deceptive type of fog that might be in your way. When it seems all, has anybody just ever dealt with some confusion? But the word of the Lord just will clear the fog. All right. Thank God for the word of the Lord. All right. Now, let's keep on going here. I want to read a little bit more of that, then we'll move on. Verse 10. With my whole heart, I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Lord, help me. Keep me, Lord. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Anybody have his word in your heart? Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all judgments of thy mouth. All right. I like this in verse 15. I will meditate. Anybody here meditating on the word of the Lord? In thy precepts have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I appreciate that, Sister Regina. The last part, I will not forget thy word. Be careful not to forget God's word. All right. The next one, next 8 stanzas, verses 17 through 24. Who had that? All right, this one, Gamal, I believe. The word of God and the trials of life and what it speaks of. All right, this is a tag team preacher. All right.
Gamal.
Take the mic, Sister Marcy.
Oh, thank you. Gamal is Hebrew, the giving of rewards as well as the giving of punishment. And the biggest part that stood out to me is that this is a servant of God that wants to have the word of God in him. He's seeking it. He's desiring to follow the commandments of God. And even though he is going through things at the latter part of people even scorning him and talking about him, he still wanted to give a testimony and keep the testimonies of God. And what she's getting from this is...
Yeah, for verse 20 specifically, the writer is saying that there's...
Let's read verse 20 so we can have a context here. Verse 20, you said?
Yes.
Can you put that on the screen? All right. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. All right. Go ahead, Sister Tay.
So when I looked up the breaketh part in other translations, it said, my soul is overwhelmed with desire. It's an irresistible longing. It's an insatiable desire for the nourishing commandments that the Lord gives. So it's just more than just wanting to follow the laws, but it's just his, like, lifestyle. And then at the end, it's just saying that sometimes the rules can be grievous, but this writer concludes that God's word is their light and delight, and that should be our perspective as well.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. All right, let's keep on going here. I believe the next one is Daleth. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but this is like he's been revived from the dust. It's a prayer for revival. From a soul that felt dead. Who had those verses? Verses 25 through 32. All right, Sister Melita.
It starts with, I guess this is the letter D, and the word in Hebrew that it begins with is davek, which means to cling, to stick, to stay close, to cleave. And basically, what I think he's trying to bring across is that he understands his flaws, his humanness. He's talking about he's lying in the dust. Lord, bring me not to shame. I weep with sorrow. Seems like there was something else. But so he understands and he's honest with God about his failures, but he is really determined to keep sticking and cleaving with God through them all. And
yes.
He wants God to, you know, he wants to be faithful. He's determined. He wants God to pursue his commands, expand his understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's had flaws, he's not staying there. He's moving forward.
Very good. Y'all hear that? Even though he has some flaws, he's not staying there. Verse 25, I'm going to choose that one out of that one. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, but listen what he says. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Lord, breathe in some life. Get some life down on me. You know, I'm down in the dust right now, but Lord, quicken thou me. And how does he get quickened? Through the word of the Lord. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. That's some of our prayers. Listen to this prayer. Make me to understand your ways, Lord. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Has anybody ever felt like that before? Anybody in here, you have just felt kind of low? Lord, quicken me. Lord, help me. Get me to thinking right. All right. All right, the next one. Hey, I believe it is. H-E. It's a plea for guidance in life. Hey. All right, this is verses number 33 through 40.
It's hey.
It's hey. All right, good. Hey, not he. Hey.
So we look.
Let's start. How about we start doing this? Start off with maybe a couple of verses that stood out to you all, and then you can expound on them. We'll do it that way.
Okay. So, well, the one thing that stood out is each verse starts with what we consider a prayer.
All right.
Teach me, give me understanding, make me to go, mm-hmm. incline my heart, turn away my eyes. Establish thy word, turn away my reproach. And the last verse, verse 40, it's actually in the latter clause, quicken me. So we said that this was like a prayer, but it's a prayer of passion mm-hmm. and his desire for the ways of God. And
so not a new car, not a new house,
right?
Not a boyfriend or girlfriend. This is for the word of the Lord to enlighten, to lead, to guide, to help, all right?
And we were wondering what might have happened before this, before he wrote it, because it was as if he had done a self-examination of his current condition, and God had made him aware that there needed to be change.
Okay.
And so when we looked up, I first looked up what the word heh meant, and it said it's a representation and abbreviation for Hashem, which is to say the name, as opposed to saying God, you just say the name. But then when we looked up the letter, heh, like the actual letter, like the alphabetical letter, it said it's a representation of open hands representing the grace of God. So it's like God gives us grace to know when we're in error, self-examination, and tell us how to change, like how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And y'all did all that in 15 minutes. My Lord. All right, that's good. Let's get that group of hands. That's good. Hey, so, all right, verse 33, just to reiterate, everybody, let's put up 33. Check that out. Teach me. Has anybody ever prayed for the Lord? Teach me, O Lord. Verse 34, give me understanding. All right, verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. This should be our prayer. Lord, help me to stay on track. 36, incline my heart unto thy, Lord, don't let my heart go drifting away. Incline my heart to thy testimonies. 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Pray, Lord, keep my eyes, Lord, help, keep me on the right track, Lord, all right? Turn away my reproach, which I fear, all right, and then behold, I have longed after thy precepts. All right, I'm not going to even act like I know how to pronounce this next one. Vow, I want to say V-A-U is what it is in mine, verses 41 through 48, all right? Sister Ashley, good to hear from you. Yes, ma'am. What verses stood out to you? Would you like to point out? I'm sorry, I threw a fastball on you with the verses. Be ready for some verses, other groups.
So the verses that stood out to us was verse 44 and 45. Mm-hmm. I would say that. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, which means freedom, for I will seek thy precepts. Not only would I seek thy precepts, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed.
All right.
So that even stood out to me about Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only would I delight myself in the commandments, I also love them. And, you know, that's one thing, too, is like when we have a certain situation where we can just follow it, just to be following it, but if I have a love for it, that's a whole different type of love than just doing it by command. So.
All right, Sister Ashley, what were you going to bring out?
When we looked up the meaning of the letter, it means to hook, or another word for hook is to capture. So we came together and thought that hook is to capture people into salvation. We are captured by the love of God and David's desire for his commandments and our desire for his commandments. When you read the scriptures, something is going on in David's life, and he knows that regardless and about his situation, he can depend on God and his commandments still. David always will have like hope in God's judgment, and he will walk freely because he seeks after God's word. It's not a burden to him. Mm-hmm. And he And after he's done seeking, he will tell people about how to get into salvation.
Excellent. Good job, bro. That was good. Go ahead, Ashley. All right, and that goes right along with verse 47 from you all's stanza. And I will delight myself in thy commandments. And notice what he says, which I have loved. All right, I hope we can fall in love with the word of the Lord. Notice every one of these eight lines, it deals with the word of the Lord and the importance of it. All right, Zane, who has 49 through 56? 49 through 56. Anybody? Sister Sean, go ahead. This is the mother of the evangelist, Ashley.
Amen. 49 through 56. There were three things that stood out to us real quick. In verse 49, it starts off with the psalmist asking the Lord to remember, like, Lord, don't forget your promises unto me. Because, you know, when we remember God's promise, it's our comfort. And so that's the second thing we notice in this passage of verses, that God's word is comfort to us. And so it's important for us to remember that God's word is comfort to us, and we remember his promises. And then in verses 54, 55, and 56, you have your statutes, his statutes. 55, you have his law. And 56, you have his precepts. So it's important for us to know what God's word means, what God's word is, for God's word to be applied in our lives, so that when we are troubled about with our enemies or whatever trials and tribulation, our temptation, or whatever it is before us, that we can remember God's word. God's going to remember his promises, but it's up to us to have God's his statute, his law, and his precepts in us, so we won't forget, you know, and we can be comforted and we can be encouraged through his word.
Excellent. Excellent. Amen. All right. For the sake of time, let's keep on moving here. Verses 57 through 64. Who had that one? 57 through 64. Anybody? Are we skipping over that one? Huh? Nobody? Oh, sister-in-law. This is Aaron. Oh, this is the grandson of Bishop G.L. Burt. You better get up and preach, boy. All right. Come on now, y'all. All right, what are we doing? Come on here.
Okay, so first of all, what stood out for me was verse 59.
Mm-hmm. 59, it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. I thought on my ways. That's good. And I turned my feet.
So pretty much the revelation is you have to stand on God's word. Sorry, my voice is weak. But you have to stand on God's word. And no matter what distraction that comes your way, just know that you have a testimony at the end as long as you stand on God's word. And so our group thought was, and this came from Brother Aaron, says, keep God's commandments. Then he said, people will try to destroy, but you have to stay fast. And then he also said, he loved God. This was also Sister Members as well. Mm-hmm. Said he loved God even during the midnight hour. He woke up thanking God. So I looked up the word Heath.
Oh, Keith. All right.
Heath, yes. And so it's pretty much it says love. So if you love an individual, you're going to do whatever you can just to please them. And so that's what Psalms 57 through 64 represent, was love. Because, you know, no matter what, he loved God so much that he woke up in the middle of the night thanking God because he was able to overcome whatever obstacles was coming his way.
That's good. And loving God's word enough where you allow that word just to remain. You don't just go after the judgments of your own heart. Amen. That's a lot of times what we do. You know, we love God when everything's going right and whenever the world agrees with it. But the moment that we hit adversity, then all of a sudden we just want to shift, you know, and now we want to follow after the culture of the day, or we want to follow after our own heart, you know, and think we got to be very, very careful, all right? I like what it said here, I thought on my ways. Sometimes we need to think on our ways. And then what's the next part? And I turn my feet. Y'all hear that? Think on your ways and turn your feet, all right? Good. All right, the next one, 65 through 72. Who had that one? 65 through 72. I'm sorry. Sister, like, you had something? We'll come back in if we got time. I only got about 10 minutes, so we got to keep it moving. Come on, groups. 65 through 72. Holler, where y'all at? All right, Sister Jory, go ahead.
Okay. Pretty much that word means goodness, good. What stands out to us, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And as you see that scripture above that, 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Mm. So he pretty much had a appreciation to God for what he had went through. He understand that the affliction brought him where he needed to align with God's will for his life. And then we began to think about how, you know, affliction, sometimes, you know, we can go and stray in different things, whether it be our prayer life or just straying away from God's word, but how that affliction allowed him to line up, and so many times in some of our lives, allow us to line back up with the will of God. He understood the scripture that says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So just having an understanding that it's when God allows us to go through these different afflictions, it's because he loves us. And even through when you get to like the latter end of the scripture, how he goes on to say that pretty much that the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So Lord, your word, your way is better to me than gold and silver.
Amen. That's good. I got a high value on the word of the Lord. Very good. I like what you said. It was good that for me that I have been afflicted. Didn't enjoy it then, but when I look back, thank God for correction. Thank God for reproof. Thank God for every rebuke. All right. Verses number 73 through 80. Sister Donaldson, yes, ma'am. What stood out to you? Could you start with the verses that you'd like to bring out from those eight? What verse stood out to you?
Verse 73 talks about thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So I think the word Yod here talks about your hands being lifted up in humility and understanding that without God you can do nothing. Mm. And so the psalmist understands that God has made him and fashioned him, and he is going to surrender unto the Lord God. And then we look at another verse talks about, like Sister Joy was saying, that he's constantly talking about his afflictions. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. That he's not blaming God. He's understanding that this is a part of life. Affliction is a part of life. And as we go on to read the scriptures, he's constantly asking God in verse 76 about, I pray, let thy merciful kindness comfort me. Mm. That when you go through tests and trials, you need to be comforted. You know, this is a human body. We feel things, but we need the comfort and the strength of God. And he goes on to talk about his mercies, tender mercies. He's asking, just continually asking God for mercy to be there with him in the midst of his affliction. He also understands that sometimes people are going to come against him, but at the end, he has to let God be the one to bring about vengeance, because vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So in all these psalms right here, we're seeing that this individual, that we're constantly humbling ourselves unto the Lord, asking him to help us and comfort us in all of our afflictions.
All right. Amen. Brought that home. All right. 81 through 88. And then I'm going to get to the one that the Lord just kind of dealt with me on last night about next. So I don't know who had 89 through 94 or those that that's kind of going to be mine for a minute. Just hijack Giles. Future Elder Hollis. Come on now. Boy, you got a big name. You better preach. You better preach. Come on now. I'll mess with you. Go ahead, bro.
The part that stuck out to me the most actually was the first line. I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. Mm-hmm. The second one was that stuck out to actually all of us was, is it 86, y'all? All your commands are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me down without cause.
Come on.
The reason why 81 stuck out to me the way it did is because I'm kind of in that chapter, and so I could really relate to it when it was saying, I'm worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have to put my hope in your word. And that was helpful to hear, that I'm not the only one going through that, you know, so.
Yeah, you're not at all. Yeah. Well, sometimes, anybody else in here felt worn out? But Lord, I'm just going to keep on holding on to your word. Amen. So in every the ups, I got your word in my heart. The downs, Lord, I'm still holding on to your word. All right, now verse 89, this is the one that just came to me last night. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, for how long, y'all? Not just for a month, not just for a week, but how long will God's word, is it settled? Forever. And then not only does it say that, it goes on to say it's settled. And not just settled in your heart or in your mind. Thank God it's not just, you know, because if it was just settled in somebody's heart, maybe they might change. You know, if it was just maybe settled in the court of law, you know, here in earth, then maybe you know how the courts do. You know, 1 minute something's wrong, then all of a sudden, you know, some years go by and all of a sudden they make it right. Y'all hear me what I'm saying? But what the scripture says, it don't matter what Congress does, it doesn't matter what the world does, it is forever settled where? It, not just at Harvard University, not just at what, you know, all the big name universities and things, and just with the in politics and things. No, but it's settled forever in heaven. So in other words, you can always depend on the word of God. It's not going to change with the times. It's not going to change with the culture. You know, people might shift their ideas and things and make very simple things confusing. Y'all hear that? We're living in a day and time where people are calling right wrong and wrong right. But the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. You ain't got to walk around being confused. You ain't got to walk around like you don't have a compass when you got the word of the Lord. Anybody still thank God for the word of the Lord leading, guiding, rebuking, helping you? Amen. Come on, give God praise for some rebukes and some reproofs. You know, I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I thought to myself, there was some certain things that I almost called right, but I thank God for repentance. Came so close to trying to justify a wrong. Oh, but I thank God for dealing with my heart and my mind and allowing me to wake up and say, no, my word is forever settled in heaven. It don't matter what people are doing. If it was wrong back then, still wrong today. If it was right back then, it's still right today. Come on, give the Lord praise one more time for his word. All right, now who had that one? That was my verse right there. I just had it. Sorry, Sister Brown, that was mine right there. All right, go ahead. I'll give you something to say on that. We only got a few minutes left. What stood out to you in those eight stanzas? The rest of y'all just kind of got off the hook. I was too long, you know. Sister Ware had a whole. Anybody have maybe just one verse they wanted to bring out? We'll do it like that. Go ahead, Sister Brown.
So really, we like that starting off forever, oh Lord, but you already explained that to us.
All right.
That was wonderful. The thing that his word, he's faithful God. And so it falls to us that not only is he a faithful God, but he's faithful to all generations. So
yes.
He's just not faithful to me, but faithful to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. He's faithful to all generations. And so we should be faithful to him. He's faithful to us. We know his word is settled, so we don't have to look for it to change. He is faithful.
All right, good, good, good. All right, we stringing up
can
these
I say
pearls.
This just real quick?
You sure can. Sister
okay,
Debbie.
I'm sorry.
No, you
but
might.
I also, I looked it up with Sister Brown and them, and it says that the letter is the tallest letter of the Hebrew language. Mm. And they said that it represents the King of Kings, the Almighty.
Wow.
And then it also indicated that the name of that letter refers to the heart, which is located. It's the center alphabet in there. So it represents our heart and the King of Kings.
Come on. Amen. All right. All right. I got about 1 minute. Y'all gonna just give me a few more minutes here. I promise I won't take long. Here's what I want to happen. If you had verses 97 through 104, those next groups, just stand up wherever you are, whoever your spokesperson is from those groups, just kind of stand up. where you are. Come on, stand up quick, y'all. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. Don't be scarred. Don't be scarred. All right, who had 97? Now, go in order. Now, holler out. All right, Brother Armand, maybe just give me, make it a nugget. I'm telling about one verse from yours and then just maybe a quick thought.
So you know, the last verse kind of summed up the whole thing. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And you can just tell that he was just so in love and so confident in the wisdom of God and just humble enough to trust God, to follow his, you know, precepts, his commandments, and to just stay away from evil.
All right, good, good, good. Stay away from evil, y'all. Y'all hear that? Stay away from evil. Don't start calling evil good. Y'all hear that? I don't care if everybody say, oh, that's all right. It's still wrong. All right, here we go. Verse 105 through 112. Who had that one? Something from that one real quick. Come on, we got to hurry up. They ready to go. It's 8:30. You on 8 time now. Oh, you going too slow, Aaron. You ain't even standing up. We're going to skip. You better get up, boy. Come on. One verse. Come on, hurry up now. One verse.
So we had, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Hold on. Slow down on that one. Read that one. Hold on now, boy. That was too good for me to rush you. Now just read it real good for him. All right.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet. Come on, and a light to my path. All right, I'll give you just about 10, 15 seconds to preach something, and come on, move to the next.
Basically, with David, he allowed God's word to lead him and to guide him. And how he went back, and even in 111, it talks about the testimonies that I've taken as a heritage forever. And now he looks back, and even when he's going through his things, and how he allows his testimonies to lead him and guide him, and as he looks back, it's a light into his path, and how he can just look back and really see and reflect on these things as God has brought him through.
Good, good, good. All right. Come on now, Brother School. You're going to have to run. All right, where we at? 133 through the next one. Come on, hurry up now. We got a couple more people. Who else had one? Okay, we stop with Brother White, I guess. Elder White's the only one standing. We'll stop with you. Take it on home for us, Brother White, and they can read the rest of the chapter at home. Go ahead.
Well, the one that really stood out to me was the 116 verse, uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope.
Come on.
It's asking God to help me, hold me up. Don't ever let me be ashamed of what I'm hoping in. Mm-hmm. Allow me to have free course in your word. Allow your word to hold me in the days that sometimes you don't feel like you want to be kept, or you might want to go your own distance. But I thank God for the word. It'll help you, it'll hold you, it'll keep you if you want to be kept. It goes along with what one of the brothers was just talking about, departing from evil. And when you depart from evil, that word is there to support you and surround you and keep you alive in the day of trouble.
All right. Come on, let's stand to our feet and give God praise for the word of the Lord. Amen. And all of these eight sections of eight verses, it's all talking about the word of the Lord and how precious it is. I hope you have a value on the word of God. I hope some of you all would just dust off that dusty book. That's why I had to kind of, I'm not even calling no names out. I just saw the two that were sitting back in the fellowship hall. That's why I had to kind of give you that little rebuke because, you know, young people, don't be just sitting back there in Bible class just chilling. No, the word of the Lord is too precious. It's too powerful. You know, don't allow yourself just to come to Bible class and just to sit there and, you know, not get nothing out of it. Come on, you got to do more than just get your body here. Anybody love the word of the Lord? Thank God for the word of the Lord. Thank God that it leads me, it'll rebuke me, it'll help me. All right, I'm